Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. As Rachel Maddow is reporting, even as we speak, the health reform put together by the Democrats is a done deal. It'll be voted on using reconciliation. It's going to pass. So whether you agree with all the details, and I certainly don't, I'm glad to see it pass. It may be a first step in getting us to what we should have in this country, in that single-payer health care. I'm also very, 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 very thankful and glad that not a single filthy Republican is voting in favor of this. That is, that's the way it should be. Republicans have voted against anything over the past 70 years that had anything to do with bettering health care or easing poverty or helping education or expanding what they call entitlements, which are nothing more than plans and schemes and ideas to get everybody to have as decent a life as possible, as guaranteed by the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness idea that was so prevalent in this country back at the beginning. Well, for white people. So it'll be interesting to watch the screaming. So far, it has been interesting to watch the screaming and the frothing of the mouth and the phlegm flecking all over the place with people like this crazy man Beck and this degenerate Rush Limbaugh. It'll be very interesting to watch them curl and heave and holler and yell, and it's going to happen. And again, while I disagree with so much of what the so-called health insurance reform plan is, I'm happy to see it happen purely because it will put the lie to these Republican bastards, all of which I wish would get on a boat and sail off the edge of the earth. Well, good way to start the program. That earthquake that hit Chile on, when was it, Sunday? Actually shook the planet. Are you aware of that? To the extent that I think it's NASA or maybe it's somebody from JPL has said that it slowed or speeded up the now let me get this right. I'm not sure if it slowed or speeded up. I guess it doesn't matter. But the days on Earth now are 1/1,000,000th of a second shorter as a result of that earthquake. It literally shook the planet. Which makes me immediately wonder, what the hell did Chile do? Where's Pat Robertson? Isn't he supposed to stand up and say the earthquake in Chile occurred because the people wouldn't accept Pinochet or something? Come on, Pat. God damn it. Are there queers in Chile? There must be queers down there, right, Pat? Or lesbians or feminists or people from the ACLU down there. It must be liberals in Chile, huh? You rancid old bastard, you. How's come we haven't heard from him yet? Come on. Aren't there enough dark-skinned people down there, Pat, for you to get your bloomers in a wad? You phony bastard, you. I've been waiting all weekend to hear from him. Oh, before I forget, congratulations to the Canadians. I swear to God, that that hockey game between the U.S. and Canada, whoo, Lord have mercy. And I've just got to say, the Canadians absolutely deserve that gold medal. And glad to see it happen, too. I really am. Nothing against our athletes. I think our athletes are fine, although some of them seem arrogant beyond belief and seem to be have this attitude that because they're American athletes, they're entitled. Did you notice that? Is it just me or did that really? Yeah, I don't think it's just me. There's an attitude of entitlement with some of these some of these Olympic athletes, it's just a little bit off-putting for your humble and obedient servant here. And another thing, isn't the Olympics supposed to be about individual excellence? When do we start with the medal counts, the national medal counts? When did we start that? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago? Was it back during the when Jesse Owens outran the Nazi runner? What was it, the 36 Olympics in Berlin? Is that when we started keeping track of medals collected by nations? Which with the United States is insane, pretty much, because so many of our athletes are originally from different countries, or have their nationality may be American, but their heritage is certainly not American. Who in the hell is American in this country, with the exception of Hopi Indians or Navajo or people who still, you know, the people have been squeezed onto reservations? They're Americans, huh? But as long as we're going to talk about medal count, okay, the United States won with, what do we have, 30-something. But if we're going to do it that way, let's take a look at the Canadians. The Canadians won more gold medals at the Olympics in Vancouver than any other country. So again, to Canadians, congratulations. You all absolutely deserve everything that you your people won, your athletes won. At the Vancouver Olympics. But I just wish the hell we would get away from this national medal count. Talk about jingoism. Talk about this disgusting, creepy nationalism. For me, it takes the fun out of it. Playing the national anthem for the winners. You know, whoever gets a gold medal, everybody has to listen to the national. What is up with that? I mean, seriously, what will come next? Eventually, there'll be the national anthem and a prayer, maybe, or something. Oh, well. It's not going to change. Anyway, congratulations to the Canadians. Way to go. Especially that hockey team. Yeehaw. There's a photograph carried by the Associated Press today where Barack Obama is reaching out to shake hands with Education Secretary Arnie Duncan after Obama spoke at an education event sponsored by something called America's Promise Alliance. And I don't know what that is. I have no idea. It sounds like one of those names put together by corporate America. So I'm a little suspicious of it right away. I may be wrong. I don't know. I just didn't look it up. America's Promise Alliance. Yeah, it does. It sounds like something sponsored by Goldman Sachs or something. But anyway, Obama was there discussing his efforts to improve the nation's schools. He was at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. So there's your biggest clue right there. That's where he gave the speech. America's Promise Alliance, huh? What is that for? That sounds like something that will guarantee to turn out good fast food workers. I was going to say good factory workers, but we don't have that anymore, do we? Oh, well. America's Promise Alliance, I understand, was founded by Colin Powell and his wife. And it's dedicated to improving the lives of children and youth. Well, good for you, Colin. I think that's great. And to your wife, that's wonderful. If you don't mind, now open the book so we can see where the money's coming from. If it's coming from nonprofit organizations, non-corporate America, I will apologize for my snotty-ass attitude in talking about your America's Promise Alliance. But if there's one corporate dollar in there, just one, It's a scam. You know it's a scam. But it was what Obama said that really unhinged me for the third or fourth time today. And I'll share that with you as soon as we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Even if we make a mistake sometimes, and that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I
learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Obama's at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, where he's giving a speech along with Education Secretary Arne Duncan about education and how he has made efforts to improve the nation's schools. And he's talking about the whole event was sponsored by America's Promise Allowance, which was set up by or founded by Colin Powell and his wife Alma, and is supposed to be dedicated to improving the lives of children and youth. How's that working out, General Powell? How's that coming, huh? Anyway, Obama gave a speech, and he says that the Rhode Island school that we talked about last week that recently fired all its teachers, Obama said that's an example of how there needs to be accountability. Yeah, accountability. He called for this kind of accountability if a school continually fails its students. If the school fails its students. Not if the school board fails the school. Not if the Department of Revenue, State Department of Revenue, fails the school board. Not if the tax structure fails the Department of Revenue. Not if this filthy goddamn U.S. Congress fails to appropriate. No. No. Don't take it back that far, Malloy. Just fire the teachers. Unbelievable. Mr. Obama said what happened at Central Falls High School, where the bloodbath occurred, you know, the decision to fire all 93 teachers, administrators, and other staff. He pointed out that no more than half of those people could be hired back under federal law. So all the people, the teachers, administrators, cafeteria workers, whatever they were associated with school, who are busting their asses for $75,000 a year. I keep hearing, I guess the teachers who'd been there forever were making in the 70s. Ooh, son of a bitch, that's way too much money, isn't it, huh? $75,000? Well, hell! Of course, before everybody figured out how phony the auto industry was in this country, for a number of reasons, an auto worker, a guy working in a factory, a woman working in a factory, could make $120,000, $130,000 a year. If they were willing to work as hard as a school teacher works for 75. But that's a whole different story. Obama pointed out that just 7% of the students at the high school have tested proficient in math. Now, how do you suppose that happened, Mr. President? Do you suppose it's because the math teachers at that school are stupid? Did the math teachers at that school sit down and say, kids, 1 plus 1 is 93. Here's how you figure the circumference of a circle. It's 3.1976248 times the square root of the hypotenuse on your mama. Do you suppose that's how they teach the, you know, the teachers teach, the math teachers teach the students? Do you suppose it's the math teachers, Mr. Obama, or is it a possibility that the teachers did the best they could, given the circumstances? 64% of the kids that attended that school were on some sort of subsidized lunch program, which means they're in a very low income bracket. The unemployment rate in that town is off the chart. The poverty rate is unbelievable. Most of the students, and yes, I'm using the word most of the students, English is a second language, but yeah, fire the teachers. That'll work. Fire all the teachers. In the meantime, to hell with the kids. The kids that had built relationships with some of these teachers, relationships that were desperately needed, because teaching is a little bit more than pounding by rote the times tables into a kid's head, Mr. President. Of course, you wouldn't know that, would you? Because you went to, you know, some pretty nice schools where the poverty rate was not in the high 50s, where the illiteracy rate was not even, oh, never mind. So there is Mr. Obama's response to the firings at the school in New Hampshire. Or was it, no, I'm sorry, Rhode Island. Mr. Obama agrees. We have more to cover here tonight. And I hope you're going to stick around, as you know, as long as you can stand it. All right? Okay. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The mother of invention. Then I'd like to kill the guy who invented this. The numbers come together in some kind of third dimension. A regular algebraic bliss. With something simple, like 1 and 1 ain't 3. And 2 plus 2 will never get you 5. There's fractions and my subtraction, and X don't equal Y. But my homework is bound to multiply.
He hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. I was watching the local news here in Atlanta this evening. The ABC affiliate and their anchor team, the male and the female, have been on Channel 2 for about, I don't know, 30 years. Big respected names in Atlanta, Atlanta's little insular world. Of media. The thing that was very irritating, the female half of the anchor team told the story of how 8,000 Georgia workers had their unemployment compensation checks ended today. They got nothing. Normally, they would have received, if they're on a direct deposit, they would have received a deposit today, or the check would have come, having been the way the process works down here. I think it's on Saturday or Sunday. You have to phone in, answer a recorded questionnaire, and then push a button, and your check will be there. But 8,000 Georgians did not get their unemployment today, unemployment check, and there's no telling when they'll get it again. Thousands of Georgians who are on COBRA, the health insurance plan, where when you lose your job, you can still, if you're on insurance, health insurance from your employer, you can maintain it if you're willing to pay close to what your employer was paying. All of that stopped in Georgia today for thousands and thousands of workers. And the female anchor said that the reason it stopped is because the Senate could not decide on how to handle how this was to continue, how the unemployment benefits were to continue. I just about lost it. I just about smashed the television. And I know the female anchor had good things to say about her. She's had good things to say about me over the course of 25 years. But, and I'm sure it wasn't her part or her fault. This is how the producers, because the female anchor I'm talking about understands this kind of stuff. She's not a talking head. Matter of fact, she's pretty bright. So is the male anchor. So it occurred to me, having worked in television news, that the story written by the writer went to the senior editor. The senior editor took it to the supervising producer, who said, let's change it a little bit. Let's soften that up a little bit. Because I'm sure the female anchor would have liked to have said on the air, 9,000 or 8,000 Georgia unemployed workers had their unemployment check stopped today because of some rancid son of a bitch from Kentucky named Jim Bunning. Now, I know she would have liked to have said that. Okay, leave out the rancid and the son of a bitch. But she wasn't allowed to tell the truth. She was not allowed to tell the truth. Jim Bunning is hard at work. He's 78 years old, and I have a feeling, not that this is true with all 78-year-olds by any means, but I have a feeling that maybe he got hit by one too many baseballs back in the day, and he's starting to get into that senile dementia that happens to so many of these freaks, especially Republicans. Single-handedly blocking the extension of unemployment checks and Cobra health insurance benefits for over a million Americans. Now, he continued with his little obstructionist crusade today. And it's all over the internet by now, this little encounter that he had with Jonathan Carl, a reporter for ABC News, and another reporter, plus a producer. Bunning responded to the producer's request for an on-camera interview by giving him the finger. Yeah, just, you know, F you. And then when two ABC reporters went after Bunning as he was about to enter an elevator, Bunning shouted at the reporters, "This is the senator's only elevator!" Of course, the doors didn't shut on Bunning's command, so the door was open a little bit longer, and the two reporters tried to question Bunning, and his eyes started to pop out of his head. I thought he was going to wet his pants. He was so mad. Just bleed right through his adult diaper. His face was all contorted in a snarl, and his voice was a shout. And then Jonathan Carl asked this freak why he was blocking the bill, and Bunning said that he would lift his objections when it was paid for. And then as the elevator doors closed, this rancid son of a bitch was asked if he was concerned about Americans losing their benefits. And of course, there was no answer. So he more or less reiterated his position that he's against the extension of unemployment benefits for millions of jobless Americans at a time when people are desperate. Now, here on the ABC affiliate here in Atlanta, immediately after that little piece of film and the female anchor's report, they did a couple of quick random, 20-second man on the street interviews with people, I guess, over at the Georgia, one of the Georgia unemployment offices. Like, what does this mean to you? What's going to happen to you? And there was one guy, frantic white guy, who said, "I desperately need this money. I don't understand. You know, I've got to, this is part of this will go to help pay my delinquent mortgage payment. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this?" Man, I'd like to ask this rancid son of a bitch, Jim Bunning, since he is so concerned about fiscal responsibility, what about all of our wars that the Chinese pay for? We're not paying for that. All billions upon billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. What about that, you rancid son of a bitch? What about that? No, you're just a Republican. You're just a typical Republican. Harry Reid wasn't buying Benning's concern for fiscal responsibility. Reid said, quote, "Where was my friend from Kentucky?" I wish they'd do away with that little bit of garbage. "Where was my friend from Kentucky?" No, 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 Harry, here's what you say. "Where was the rancid son of a bitch from Kentucky when we had two wars that were unpaid for during the Bush administration? Where was my friend from Kentucky with the Bush administration tax cuts, which are also unpaid for?" Reid said, quote, "We don't need lectures here on debt from the Republicans. There are poor people all over America who are desperate today," end quote. According to Roll Call, Reid will now seek a vote on an expanded measure extending unemployment benefits for a full year. And in addition to those benefits and Cobra insurance benefits, the measure blocked by Bunning also included extensions for flood insurance. We mentioned this last night. Highway funding. So there's something like 9,000 workers across the country who are working on highway projects now find themselves unemployed thanks to this rancid son of a bitch from Kentucky. What is it about Kentucky? Mitch McConnell and Jim Bunning. What is it with these two scum? What? I mean, where are they from? They're not from here. They're not Americans. They're not patriots. They hate this country. They hate people in this country. They're rancid sons of bitches is what they are, right? Right down to their filthy Republican core. Huh? Small business loans are being held up now. All of it. Everything stopped on Sunday thanks to the rancid son of a bitch from Kentucky, Jim Bunning. This senile dementia freak who's not running for re-election. The Republicans are trying to run away from him. They were hoping that Bunning wouldn't do this, but Bunning, like I say, one too many beanballs out there on the mound. Right, Jim? Huh? You creep. And as far as language, the language I use on this little radio program, you know, when you think about what Bunning has said, he's a United States senator using the F word anytime he wants to, just like Cheney did. Cheney directed it at Pat Leahy. "Go F yourself," he said to a sitting United States senator who happened to be a Democrat. Bunning uses the F word. He gives people the finger. And last week when he was asked about all these unemployed Americans about to lose their benefits, he said, "Tough poop." Only he didn't say poop. He just, you know, used the SH word just right out. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Son of a bitch is really unhinged, isn't he? So he gives a finger to the ABC producer. And at the same time, he's also giving the middle finger to all those unemployed Americans who Bunning couldn't care less about, and all the unemployed workers in Kentucky. Kentucky lost about 60,000 jobs since the end of 2008, according to the New York Times. In December, the unemployment rate in Kentucky was almost 11%, the highest since 1983. So, to all you people in Kentucky who happen to be listening tonight on Sirius or XM or the internet, we're not carried on a station in Kentucky because I'm not Christian enough, I guess. And I cuss. I say things like the rancid son of a bitch from Kentucky named Jim Bunning. But for all you people listening on the internet or XM or Sirius, why are you, I mean, why did you vote for this piece of human waste? What was the point? What was the point? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. Talk to me about that one big break. Spread your ear pollution both far and wide. Keep your contributions by your side. Something could be a winner, boy, and move quite well. Something's up, man. You got your number down. Something's up, man.
listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It's about 10 before the hour. Also today, an article that caught my attention is the thousands of this country's largest water polluters are not covered by the Clean Water Act's REACH because the United States Supreme Court has left uncertain which waterways are protected by that law, the Clean Water Act. That's according to interviews with regulators. The New York Times had this today. As a result of this, some businesses are deciding that the law no longer applies to them. And pollution rates are rising. One of the biggest polluters on Earth is the Southern Company, the company that's going to build two new nuclear reactors here in Georgia. What this means is that companies that have dumped oil and carcinogens, chemical crap, dangerous bacteria into lakes and rivers and other inland water are not being prosecuted. That's according to EPA regulators who have been working on these cases. They estimate that more than 1,500 major pollution investigations have been discontinued or shelved in the last 4 years. Who is president? Oh. Clean Water Act was intended when it was passed, what was it, in 72, that was a Nixon-era law, right? It was intended to end what was going on at the time. Remember when the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught fire? And the reason the Cuyahoga River, which goes right through Cleveland and empties into Lake Michigan, the reason it caught fire was because of, well, the pollutants that were in the water. Look at the Hudson River. How badly General Electric destroyed the Hudson River. You know, General Electric, the ones that own NBC and CNBC and MSNBC. That General Electric. Anyway, the Clean Water Act was intended to end what was going on back in the 70s by regulating these polluters. But, you know, slide forward almost 40 years and all of a sudden regulators are unable to prosecute because the EPA lacks jurisdiction or because providing jurisdiction would be difficult, time-consuming. An EPA lawyer in Atlanta, here in Atlanta, said, quote, "We are in essence shutting down our clean water programs in some states. This is a huge step backward. When companies figure out that the cops can't operate, they start remembering how much cheaper it is to just dump the stuff in a nearby creek," end quote. And the New York State Assistant Commissioner for Water Resources said, quote, "This is a huge deal. There are whole watersheds that feed into New York's drinking water supply that are, as of now, unprotected," end quote. Now, the court rulings, you know, a lot of people send me emails say, "Why are you always talking about fascism? You don't know what fascism is." Oh, bite me. These fascist court rulings that are causing these problems focused on the language in the Clean Water Act, not the intent. No, but the language that limited pollutant discharges to, here's the way it says, quote, "the discharge of pollutants into the navigable waters of the United States." Now, for decades, that term, navigable water, was broadly interpreted by regulators to include large wetlands and streams that connected to major rivers. That's called common sense. That's called logic. That's called, yeah, okay, I get it. But the two decisions by the Supreme Court suggested that waterways that are entirely within one state and creeks that sometimes go dry and lakes unconnected to larger water systems may not be so-called navigable waters at all and are therefore not covered by the act, even though pollution dumped into these waterways makes its way into sources of drinking water. Jesus, God. The EPA and state regulators are concerned because the decisions by the court have created this uncertainty. The court, of course, fascists did not define which waterways are regulated. So it's all up in the air. About 117 million Americans get their drinking water from sources fed by water that is vulnerable to exclusion from the Clean Water Act. That's according to EPA sources. Think about that for a second. You live in an area, I'm sure you do, unless you live somewhere out in the wilds of South Dakota, where the stuff you're drinking probably is either is or soon will kill you or make you sick. The EPA said in a statement that it did not automatically concede that any significant water body was outside the authority of the Clean Water Act. The agency wrote, quote, jurisdictional determinations must be made on a case-by-case basis, end quote. Now, in the last 2 years, some members of Congress have tried to limit the impact of those court decisions by introducing legislation known as the Clean Water Restoration Act. Ooh, that sounds communist to me. Clean Water Restoration Act. Now, it's been approved by the Senate committee, but now you introduce this session in the House. And what this legislation tries to resolve is these problems by, in part, removing the word navigable from the laws and restoring regulators' authority over all water that was regulated before the Supreme Court decision. Now, how do you suppose this is working out? I'll tell you when we come back. Stick around. True Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family.
I can hear the music playing. I can hear the word that you're saying. I can see the love light in your eyes. What's the use in looking for an answer? I might find out it could be a disaster.
Seven past the hour. All right, so the Clean Water Act. I know this is boring, but it really isn't when you stop and think about it. 120 million Americans get their main source of drinking water is from polluted waterways that are open to pollution because of these Supreme Court rulings. And, of course, capitalist America always looking for a chance to cheat, lie, steal, and screw the people that they're killing are taking advantage of this. Because, see, the governing elite in capitalist America, they don't drink the same water that you and I do. They would no more drink out of a tap than they would drink out of their own elimination systems. So they don't care. If your kid or your spouse or your family gets ill from drinking polluted water, hey, it's capitalist America, it's free enterprise system. So, the people fighting against any kind of legislation to restore the idea of clean water. That act is sitting in Congress, the Clean Water Restoration Act. It's been approved by a Senate committee, not yet introduced in the House. And the legislation tries to remove the problems by removing the word navigable from the law and restoring the authority of regulators to that they had before these Supreme Court decisions. So what's the problem with that? Well, one member of the Waters Advocacy Coalition, Waters Advocacy Coalition, that sounds like a beer and clean and not have carcinogens and pharmaceuticals and, right? The Waters Advocacy Coalition. Well, no. That's a group that has fought legislation. It's supported by the American Farm Bureau Federation. They want to be able to send as much animal waste and, now the American Farm Bureau Federation, don't misunderstand. This is not mom and dad, grandma and grandpa's farm. These are the factory farms, the ones that want to send, pig feces into your drinking water with no restrictions whatsoever. The ones that want to send antibiotics, that is, secreted by animals and feedlots into your drinking water. So don't be fooled by the names here. Okay? But one member of the fought any legislation to clean up the water is supported by the American Farm Bureau and the National Association of Home Builders. They don't want clean water. And other groups representing industries affected by the Clean Water Act. These people say, quote, the game plan is to emphasize the scary possibilities, end quote. Okay, now what are you thinking? The scary possibilities of what? Clean drinking water? Ah, of course not. It's kind of like death panels with health insurance reform, right? This is made up horse crap. But one coalition member in this Waters Advocacy Coalition said, quote, if you can get Glenn Beck to say that government stormtroopers are going to invade your property, farmers in the Midwest will light up their congressman switchboards and tell them not to vote in favor of the Clean Water Restoration Act. You see that? If you can get Glenn Beck, not Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity has always been a little parrot boy. Sean Hannity is so last century, isn't he? Huh? And Limbaugh's on the verge, too. Limbaugh never could get a political movement going. He's just a great big turdy old bastard that sits there and tells lies. But Glenn Beck, Sieg Heil, mofo, hey, I'm for real. If you can get Glenn Beck to say that government stormtroopers are going to invade your property, farmers in the Midwest will light up their congressman switchboards. Now, actually, that's pretty much what happened. That's pretty much what happened, right? Beck went off on this Clean Water Restoration Act at some point. And did get a lot of people to call in. He did. Because Glenn Beck is the new leader of Crazy America. The American Land Rights Association, another organization opposed to legislation. The American Land Rights Association. Well, goddamn me, that sounds pretty important. The American Land Rights Association. No, it's another corporate front group. They wrote last June that people should, quote, deluge your senators with calls, faxes, and emails. In a news release the same month from the American Farm Bureau Federation warned that even rainwater will be regulated. Spokesman for the American Farm Bureau Federation, these factory farms said, quote, if you erase the word navigable from the law, it erases any limitation on the federal government's reach. It could be a gutter, a roadside ditch, or a rain puddle. But under the new law, the government gets control over it. Holy God. You see how this works? You see how this works? In 2007, after a pipe manufacturer in Alabama, a company that's a division of McLean Incorporated, pipe manufacturer was convicted and fined millions of dollars for dumping oil, lead, zinc, and a whole list of other chemicals into a large creek. An appellate court overturned the conviction and the fine, ruling that the Supreme Court exempted the waterway from the Clean Water Act. And the company eventually agreed to settle by paying a little tiny amount and submitting to probation. According to one of those New York officials, the Clean Water Act worked for over 30 years, and we're at risk of losing that if we can't get a new law. And that's true. Corporate America doesn't give a goddamn about you drinking water. They couldn't care less. Die, sucker. They couldn't care less. They don't care. Who cares? Oh, you know, the tree huggers and the hippies and the liberals and the progressives and the Democrats, some Democrats and the left wingers. We care. Not the Democrats. Democrats are sold out also. But, you know, those of us who are not political, who just believe in trying to take care of the nest a little bit, we care. But the American Farm Bureau Federation, damn, that sounds important, doesn't it? American Farm Bureau Association and the American Land Rights Association and the Waters Advocacy Coalition, the National Association of Home Builders. Well, Jesus God, they don't want the Clean Water Restoration Act. And like they say, all you have to do is get Glenn Beck to say that government stormtroopers are going to invade your property. And we're home free, boys.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Beck, Mr. Glenn Beck, spoke at length on Fox News against the Clean Water Restoration Act back in December. So Mr. Beck is right out there protecting the rights of corporate America, as we have pointed out many, many times. It doesn't make any difference. Mr. Beck, you see, Mr. Glenn Beck, he doesn't have to drink the kind of water that you drink, booby. Mr. Glenn Beck can drink any kind of water he wants. But he wants to make goddamn good and sure that his corporate masters are happy. And if that means pig feces in your water, well, be like Glenn. Come on, you right-wing jerks. You can be like Glenn. Right? Isn't that your hope? That you can be wealthy and rich and famous just like Glenn. That's why you support everything about a system that is corrupt all the way down to its socks, right? Oh, my God. I don't know. Mr. Glenn Beck. And poor old Hannity is eating his own liver. He's just, you know, Hannity always wanted to be Glenn Beck, even before there was a Glenn Beck. But Hannity never could, because Hannity is not creative. Hannity never would have been a top organizer for the Nazi Party the way Glenn Beck is. Hannity would have been, he would have chickened out. He would have been too stupid when the inner circle of the Nazis would have said, well, what about you, Sean? What do you got to add?
Well, I'll just go along with whatever you guys are doing.
But Mr. Glenn Beck, Sieg Heil, mofo, Sieg Heil. Mr. Glenn Beck has lots of power. Power in the United States. Thank God for Glenn Beck. Huh? Yes. Keep those hog feces in our water. Mr. Glenn Beck, thank you, sir, for making sure that we can drink hog feces and rancid pharmaceuticals. And thank God for Jim Bunning, who's making sure that people on unemployment ain't going to get no mo', because, you know, we got to have fiscal responsibility in the United States. That's what we got to have, and that means coming on the backs of these goddamn unemployed workers. Alrighty. We got to have that $1 trillion to fight for mom and cherry pie and athlete's foot over there in them two godless Muslim countries. Don't talk to me about fiscal responsibility there. We're fighting for freedom. Freedom, goddammit! Republicans, conservatives are sick, degenerate subhumans. And they have tremendous power in the United States. Tremendous power. Yes, amen. They have such power because the American people are highly educated. We're politically brilliant. We know the truth when it comes up and chews on our rumps. We know that truth. Thank God for Glenn Beck. Yeah. Sieg Heil, mofo. There's a section of New York Times Online called the Prescriptions Blog, and it's written and or edited by Michelle Andrews. In today, or last week's Prescription Blog, I meant to get to this last week, didn't get to it. She writes, as members of the Obama administration and Congress met last Thursday to try to find common ground on health care, a new report warned that without comprehensive legislation, more than 275,000 adults nationwide will die over the next decade because of a lack of health insurance. Well, it ain't going to be Mr. Glenn goddamn Beck. He's got health insurance. You can bet your butt on that, boy. But you right-wingers, yo, that's right, you know, you love Glenn Beck. You love Fox News because they tell the truth. Are you ready to die? Here's your death panels that Sarah Palin was talking about. Here it is. Only guess what, chump? It applies to you and your mama and your daddy and your granny. And sadly enough, to your child. God forbid your child gets sick and needs some kind of emergency health care and you don't have any insurance. Well, you can go to the emergency room, but she'll probably die waiting to see a doctor. But that's all right. Mr. Glenn Beck is protecting your interests, isn't he, huh? God damn it, we're going to balance this budget before your daughter can get medical care. Yes, sir.
Yes, for love. If it's love, it's changing, but I'm changing.
Mercy is my strength. truth and liar.
The quality of mercy is not rare.
Than a dozen lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not rare.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not rare.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is not rare.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Take my hand.
So what the Republicans are wanting is as much death and destruction as they can possibly bring to this country. That's all they've ever wanted. That's what conservatives want. They want a ruling elite and a vast underclass that is forced to do whatever the ruling elite insists upon having done. And the problem is so many average jerkwads out there who consider themselves to be conservative think they're going to be among the ruling elite, when in fact they will not. They will be neutralized as soon as it is advantageous to neutralize them. Same way Hitler did with the brown shirts back in Germany in the 20s and 30s. But Mr. Glenn Beck is the leader of all these people, and Mr. Glenn Beck wants to have filth in your water. Mr. Glenn Beck also is one of those leaders who would like to see 275,000 adults nationwide die. Hey, Malloy, it's spread over a whole decade. For Christ's sake, that's only 27,500 a year. Quit acting like it's a big number, Malloy. Because of a lack of health insurance. Now, an earlier study, if you'll remember, by the Institute of Medicine, estimated that about 18,000 people died prematurely in 2000 because they lacked insurance. And in 2006, the number was up to 22,000. The new study by this advocacy group, Families USA, a liberal advocacy group, applied the same methodology used in the previous reports to calculate on both a national and state-by-state basis the latest figures. The director of health policy at Families USA said, quote, "This is only the tip of the iceberg and the most severe consequence, which is death." Now, in addition to all this, thousands of other citizens, maybe millions, are experiencing a reduction in the quality of their lives and their health insurance, or their health, because they lack insurance, according to the spokeswoman for Families USA. Not to be confused with American Family Association or whatever the hell, some of the, you know, the total perversion of language has been absolutely completed by these conservative bastards. But this is a real organization. Now get this. And I want you to listen to this list. Many of the states with the largest number of projected premature deaths also have the largest populations. The top 12 states in order of an estimated premature deaths, because they don't have health insurance, are California, followed by Texas, followed by Florida, followed by New York, followed by Georgia, then North Carolina, Illinois, Ohio, Louisiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. And in 2008, roughly 46 to 50 million people in the U.S. did not have health insurance, according to the Census Bureau. And this new report estimates that currently 68 adults over the age of 65, 68 die every day because they don't have any health insurance. And experts say that this new study's estimates of premature death likely err on the conservative side. In other words, it'll be a lot more than that. Now, in addition, these numbers don't include children, right? Children are usually healthy, and lots of kids are eligible for coverage under, you know, the social welfare programs that the Republicans, the conservatives, are always trying to murder, like Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIPS program. Conservatives hate that. They hate it. Even the ones whose children receive insurance through the CHIPS program. They hate it, too. I don't want no goddamn federal programs. And keep your damn hands off my child's health insurance, too, you son of a bitch. You poor, ignorant slobs. According to research cited in the Families USA study, hospital mortality rates were 60% higher for children without insurance. 60% higher. You understand? Now, I got a news flash for you, you dumbass conservatives. Those are conservative children that are dying. But you don't care. Mr. Glenn Beck will tell you, well, you got to have a few of them, a few of them die. Some of them have to die. But that's all right. They're going to come out and declare that mud puddle in front of your house to be a waterway. Children got to die. That's just the way it goes. God damn it. I almost died when I was a kid. Woof, woof. Meow, meow. Look here. Look at my chalkboard. Look at my chalkboard. You see this? See this? These are dead children. Now, let me just tell you, I'm afraid that if you're... Are you a teabagger? Ah, you don't like that term, teabagger, do you? We're supposed to be tea partiers. Children gotta die. Pretty soon they're gonna kill Hannity's children. As soon as he loses his health insurance, they'll die too. Now look over here. See this? C. That stands for conservative. H. That stands for health. Woof, woof, woof. I. That stands for idiot. L. That stands for, I don't know, pay lottery. D. That stands for death. There you go. Child. Death. See? That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. Woof, woof, woof. You can find all this at Rockefeller Center. There's a big mural over there. Golly. Jesus Christ. Mr. Glenn Beck, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Glenn Beck. Jesus, God in heaven. Thank you, Mr. Glenn Beck. Yes. Thank you. Got to stop these liberal sons of bitches that are trying to keep my... child alive. I want my child dead. I'm a conservative son of a bitch, and I want the balance budgeted or something like that. We're way over in debt there. Yeah, my kid's in an iron lug and got hoses going into his legs and arms and stomach. But we got to balance the budget before you save my... Mr. Glenn Beck, I offer up my daughter as sacrifice. I'm like Abraham. I am, Mr. Glenn Beck. Here, take my child, Mr. Glenn Beck. I love you. May I kiss parts of your body?
Well, of course you can.
Woof, woof, woof.
Of course you can, my son. Absolutely.
Give me your child. Yeah. Woof. 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 Jesus God. Bob Falsey. From Skillman, New Jersey, writes to the New York Times. To the editor, I watched the healthcare summit meeting on television in utter fascination and came to the conclusion that this critical issue is no longer resolvable through bipartisan efforts. What Congress believes is the right way to resolve this complex debate is immaterial. That's politics, and this is about leadership. President Obama must now do what he believes is the right thing to do for the American people. Right doesn't necessarily mean perfect. It doesn't necessarily mean popular. It doesn't even necessarily mean right is judged by history. It simply means right in his estimation at this time under these circumstances. That's what we Americans have come to expect from our presidents. We elect them to do what's right for us. In the end, people are dissatisfied with the decision he makes, with the results of this initiative, then go ahead and vote him out at the next election and give someone else a chance to do it better. That's the way the system works. But great leaders do something that puts them above everyone else. They lead. Bob Felsey, Skillman, New Jersey, letter to the editor, New York Times. Well, Glenn Beck leads too, son of a bitch. Yeah, that's the kind of leader I'm following. Where's my gun? Glenn Beck understands. You know, him and Sarah told us about those death panels, and he was talking on his show the other day about they're trying to regulate mud puddles out on a farm place, because that way you couldn't eat any more bologna because of that. That's what he said. We got to stop these liberals. They want to regulate mud puddles. Dumb bastards. Can you imagine that? Thank you, Mr. Glenn Beck, for telling us the truth about all this. Mr. Glenn Beck, we just love you. You are a Christian man. All right, you're a Mormon, but, you know, we'll overlook that. Thank you, Mr. Glenn Beck, for leading us out of the wilderness and into the bright, glaring sunshine where we all can see the truth.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, and I'll bet you someplace out there, these little half-witted conservatives who listen to this program, they sit in the dark and they listen to this program. Yeah, you do. They just don't get it. You know, they will follow Glenn Beck into what Beck tells them is heaven. Mr. Glenn Beck will say, follow me. Watch out for the pig crap over there, but follow me. I'm your leader. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, baby, come on. And they follow him right into hell. They just don't realize it yet. That's that's the part that I find interesting in a clinical sort of way, because I realize that people who follow conservative mindset or conservative leadership are crazy. They're cowards. They don't have any leadership ability themselves. And they're very easy to manipulate. And that's the reason that Hitler was able to activate so many brown shirts, and then his SS, is because these were bully boys, dumbasses. We have them chock-a-block in this country. And I feel kind of sorry for them, because a lot of them are unemployed, without medical care, about to lose their houses. Their kids can't go to any kind of a decent school, can't even get into a trade school because there's no money left. And these are the kind of people that Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and the rest of these swine zero in on, because they're already weakened. And it's very easy to convince them of some outside force. The Hitler boys used the Jews. It was all the Jews' fault. Jews and liberals and socialists. But the Jews. It was the Jews' fault. And even though some of the greatest minds in Germany at that period of time were encased in the skulls of Jews, it didn't make any difference because the people were so beaten down. I mean, not only did they suffer the humiliation of having to pay reparations to France and England, I believe, for the horrors of World War One. But their own economy tanked. And then the whole world was on the verge of the Great Depression and yada, 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 yada. Same thing here now. The same group of bully boys in this country. You could pick these people up in our country, give them a mind zap so they spoke German, set them down in Germany in the late 20s and early 30s, and they would fit right in. Mr. Glenn Beck is just Mr. Heinrich Himmler. That's all. It's very easy. It's easy stuff. But our country, our sad, tired, declining country, is chock-a-block with these idiots. All white men, a few crazy white women who are just, you know, like coke whores for the most part. Coke, you know, just coke whores. No offense to sex workers. By coke whore, I mean just complete, their minds completely burned out. First of all, they're battered because they're married to conservative men. They're battered. They have been turned into some objectified lump. They can't think straight anymore. Not that they ever could. But these are the people that you can see them on the videos that line up for Sarah Palin to sign her book for them. You see them. You see their faces. They're vacant, blank faces, except when they walk by the camera. Oh, goddamn liberal. Did you hear what I said? I said goddamn liberal. And they listen to this program. I know you do. I know you listen to this program. And what you hear on this program just scares you, makes you go buy another gun. You're damn right. Go buy another gun. Because if I ever see you, I'll just wring your little chicken neck. Just like that. Just like my grandfather used to do. My Italian grandfather, when he would butcher the chickens, tie them upside down on that clothesline, let them hang there for a while until the blood all drained to the little chicken heads. Then he'd come by with that old Dago knife of his. Huh? He would. He'd come by, and I'd be standing there, little five-year-old Mikey, standing there going, hey, what's going to happen, Grandpa? Son of a bitch. You know what happened? What happens to a chicken when you cut its head off and then take it down off that clothesline and throw it on the ground? You know what happens? That's what you dumbass conservatives are doing right now. Your chickens with your heads cut off. Not only are you squirting blood, they squirt blood for a few minutes. But they just run around and flap and run into stuff. And we had a dog. My grandparents had a dog. That was the best day of his life, man. Headless chickens running around the yard. It was dog heaven. If there's a, and he was a terrier. And I don't know, maybe you know about terriers. But he was a terrier. And every time my grandfather, he would do about 6-8 of them at a time. Just cut those heads off. Man! You hear this flapping sound? I still have nightmares of that flapping sound. Because there was no... You're just... And the dog would run after those chickens. My grandmother would be standing there with a stick screaming to get the dog away. Because we had a great big old couple of these iron tubs. Galvanized tubs. Full of hot water. You know what that was for? You dumbass conservatives. That's where we would take you after your head was lopped off by Mr. Glenn Beck. Then we put you in that scalding water. Now, why did we do that? We had to pluck you. We had to pluck you. And that hot water just eased them feathers out a little bit easier. But you got plucked. You did. And Mr. Glenn Beck is plucking you every single day. And people like me get to, I mean, it's just like being 5 years old all over again. My grandma chasing your ass around the yard there, grabbing you, throwing you in that tub of scalding water. And then we would pluck you. Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say Bush crime family. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Got an email here from William in Hollywood. He writes, remember 15 or 20 years ago when the talk was focused on sick buildings? Remember that? Where it was found that carpets and particle board and paints and plastic, all made by corporations, were making people sick. Also, part of this was the unsafe and underpowered and filthy air circulation systems. Remember that? And what happened? It vanished like a beck in the wind. I think the word is fart, but that's right. William writes, I wonder now just how safe the crap is that pulled out of the swill and forced into the space of an office building or a new home in the form of furniture or carpet, tile or paint, all the glues and binders that hold this stuff together. No one talks about it, and suddenly it no longer exists or presents a problem. I don't know. I don't know what happened to that stuff, William. I remember that. Sure, remember that? Remember the sick buildings thing? Huh? And people wonder why cancer rates, after 80 years of trying to get a handle on it, the cancer rates are about the same, and oh, never mind. I'm going to go back to some of these letters to the editor written to the New York Times, because some of them are pretty good. Here's one from Harry Lockwood in Newton, Mass., who wrote to the New York Times, quote, I was riveted to my seat for 7 hours during President Obama's health care forum on Thursday. What I saw was a masterful leader trying with some success to herd cats toward the goal of solving the huge health care problem this country faces. Unfortunately, the president faced an opposition party stuck on the mantra, quote, scrap the plan and start over with incremental changes, end quote. He repeatedly demonstrated how this approach would lead to worsening health care and even larger budget problems in the future. It became clear to me, sadly, the Republican Party's strategy is not to offer any viable alternative, but to defeat this president at any cost. One wonders why. Harry Lockwood. Well, Harry, it's because he's a Negro. That's the White House, dude. That's the White House. White. It's not the Black House. It's not the Mexican House, it's the White House. To the editor, this is from Charles Zwick in New York. Disappointed, yes. Oh, Charles Zwick and Peter Lewis. Disappointed, yes. Surprised, no. The Republican Party opposed the Social Security and Medicare programs from their birth. For decades, the Republican Party has pursued a strategy of building up deficits by cutting taxes, howling at attempts to increase revenue in order to undermine, if not kill, both programs. The Republican arguments and philosophy behind the arguments against the proposed Democratic Health Initiative can easily be used against the existing Social Security and Medicare programs. It is not surprising that, in fact, these same arguments were actually used in 1935 against Social Security, and again in 1965 against Medicare. The president is committed to a collegial, bipartisan approach. Democrats at large have no such problem. They should focus the electorate on the Republican permanent opposition to the very principles behind these two successful programs that are at the heart of a healthy and functioning democracy. The heart of a healthy and functioning democracy. I mean, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You don't have to be a political science major to understand that last sentence, or the last phrase in that sentence, the heart of a healthy and functioning democracy. That's right. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. These are social safety net programs without which all of these conservative geeks who love Mr. Glenn Beck, their parents would have died a long time, but they might not have even been born themselves, except for the fact of an effort made by public health in this country over the past 70 years. And the right-wingers don't understand that. The so-called conservatives, the ones who say, I'm a patriot, I'm going to get my goddamn gun and kill a liberal. I mean, you people just don't get it, do you? I got way off on a tangent about killing chickens, but the humane thing to do to some of these conservatives would be to just wring their necks, put them out of their misery, because they're never going to be happy, no matter what anyone tries to do for them. Decent diet?
Oh, no. Hell no.
Clean water?
Communists!
Products that don't kill you and kill your children?
Hey, stay out of the free market.
Cars that really run and don't wind up running off a cliff.
Yeah, see, government steps in. Hey, Mr. Obama, are you going to join the UAW now?
You stupid bastards. You really are. But, see, Mr. Glenn Beck doesn't insult you. I do. Mr. Glenn Beck panders to you, and he gets in your wallet, and he gets in your head. That's why Mr. Glenn Beck is such a great leader in this country in these times, because he knows how to do both. And you pumpkin-headed conservatives, you just go for it, don't you? Yeah, here, you want my money? You want my wife? You want my daughter? You can take my daughter, Mr. Glenn Beck. Good Lord, yeah. Just stop them liberals, will you please? We don't want health care in this family. We don't want good-paying jobs in this family. We don't want education in this family. We don't want water that's drinkable or food that's eatable or, you know, cosmetics when my old lady smears them on her face. If it makes her cheeks fall off, well, that's free enterprise. Mr. Glenn Beck, sir, we love you. Oh, God, I love you. And Miss Sarah Palin, of course, is a little different with her. I have something else. Well, never mind. Here's another one from Connell McGuire in Riviera Beach, Florida. Distinguished leaders went round and round on Thursday debating the problems of delivering and paying for health care for the American people without finding actionable agreement. No one mentioned a simple known model to cut costs dramatically and deliver care efficiently to everyone. Medicare. Pamela Crooks in La Mesa, California, wrote to the editor, here's an argument not expressed on Thursday that should give free market Republicans pause. A lack of affordable individual plans that cover all pre-existing conditions is preventing potential entrepreneurs from striking on their own to bring a creative new idea or business to market. Instead, they are chained to their present jobs for fear of losing insurance for themselves and their families. Current health insurance policies are actually stifling what has made this country a financial powerhouse in the past. The possibility that anyone can make it to the top if he or she is smart and works hard enough. Pamela Crooks in La Mesa. That's true, but conservatives don't want that. Conservatives are the bully boys, the brown shirts of the ruling corporate elite. And the ruling corporate elite, they don't want entrepreneurs. Are you out of your mind? Entrepreneur? What the hell is that, a French word? They don't want that small business. No small business. Small business, my ass. They want big corporate business. Great big old factories and plants. And when they work the workers to death and promise them all kinds of lies and deceit. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you a retirement plan. Yeah, health insurance for life. Yeah, just give us 30 years. Give us your prime goddamn years in your life. And we'll take care of you after, whoops, time to leave. Goodbye. What, you're sick? You got what? Black lung. What the hell's that? Asbestosis. We didn't catch it from our little mine shaft. What are you talking about? Huh? Goodbye. Moving to India now. Goodbye. Thanks a lot. No, those days of the entrepreneurs? Corporate America doesn't want entrepreneurs. They want slave labor.
go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Too bad Charlie Daniels is such a right-wing son of a bitch. He sure knows he is. Hey, find that and let's play it. Get the version that says, I told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best of ever is. And we'll play it as a dance break after this next break. Can you find that? You do it for you, Miss Producer? I don't want to do the klezmer stuff. I don't want to do who stole the Kishka or whatever. I'm just, you know, the Kishka song is okay, but I want to hear some Charlie Daniels. All right? Okay. Thank you. I'm just in a plucking mood tonight. That's all it is, you know, chicken pluckers. Something about Mr. Glenn Beck that does that to me.
I have no voice, but I just have to comment that the biggest convention that ever used to come to Atlanta, they called them the chicken pluckers.
Yeah.
They were the people who were in the chicken, you know, manufacturing industry.
You got a bit of a cold.
I have a horrible cold.
You got to be taking Epicor like I do.
I need to stop talking.
Yeah, you do. Mike is in Salt Lake City listening on XM. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
I'm okay.
Okay, well, Mike, I want to talk tonight about that Republican Kentucky senator that's blocking...
Jim Bunning.
Yeah, blocking the unemployment insurance extension.
Right.
He gives all this arguments about how he's concerned about the rising deficit, blah, blah, blah. I want to know, where were the teabaggers and the conservative Republicans when the deficit started rising when Bush started the Iraq and Afghan war? Where is their outrage?
Well, they don't have outrage for stuff like that because these teabaggers are sunshine patriots. They love to see other people go to war, but they're cowardly. There's not a teabagger out there that would ever do anything that involved going to war. Even these illegitimate, murderous, fascist wars, they won't even participate in that because you got to remember this. You're not paying attention now, Mike. All conservatives are cowards. Every one of them. And they're liars. They're liars and they're cowards. And if you keep that in mind, then all this stuff will be very clear to you.
Yeah. Well, I also want to raise this question. You know, Jenna Bush is not in Iraq. So what's the noble cause, you know, George Bush? See, a lot of these war hawks are chicken hawks. They want to send someone else's son or daughter to Iraq or Afghanistan, but don't send mine.
Well, no, that's how they operate. That's how they operate, Mike. Cowards, liars, cowards, sneaks, and you are perfectly justified in hating all of them, even though, you know, your Lord and Savior said you're not supposed to hate, but these freaks you're allowed to. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you checking in. We got to find Charlie Daniels. There was, we're going to take some more phone calls tonight, but this is kind of interesting. I don't know if I have time. Do I have time to do this? I don't think I do. Maybe I'll do it when we come back. Steve Pizzo has a thing here. Who sent it to me? I forget who sent it to me. But it's kind of cool, and it's very quick. And I want to share it with you when we come back. Because we have a break coming here any second. any second. We're going to have to take another break. All right. And the other thing, if Kathy can find a good rendition of The Devil Went Down to Georgia, we're going to play it when we come back, because we need to move around a little bit, you know. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching Sesame Street, like I do with Molly, and every once in a while they say, all right, let's everybody get up now. Come on, let's move around. So stick around. We're going to try to bring you Charlie Daniels when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Riding on our range, then the cowboy change your ways. They are with us, you will ride, trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Lower the
life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. All right, before we go back to your phone calls, we need to stand up and get the blood flowing a little bit. All right, just however you want to dance, if you want to Texas two-step or just do whatever you have to do. Here's Charlie Daniels.
Looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. A sin, but I'll take your bet. You're gonna regret because I'm the best as ever.
Yeah,
been. Johnny, you're awesome. You're a bow and play your fiddle hard. And if you win, you'll get the shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul. Case and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rolled up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Said, well, you're pretty good, old son. But sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Woo. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out gold. Granny lets your dog back, no child knows. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. He laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been. He played
music to behead chickens.
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. You feel a little better now? See? You just have to, not beat the hell out of, who stole the Kishka. All right, phone number here is 877-996-2556 if you'd like to join in. Jerry is in Indianapolis. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Are you done with the country music now?
No, just for now.
Okay, I was telling Kathy I got a little story about Mr. Bunny.
Yeah?
When I was living in Fremont, Ohio, which I'm sure you know where that is.
Yeah, Fremont? Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I've spent a lot of time in Fremont.
I was living here about 24 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was working in Fort Clinton. Mm-hmm. I met this gentleman who was a teammate of Jim Bunning on the Tigers for 3 years.
Right.
He had to quit because he hurt his shoulder. He was a pitcher. He told me that Jim Bunning, who had a no-hitter in each league, are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, he had one in the American and one in the National.
Well, I'll be darned.
But Jim Bunning used to sharpen his belt buckle and then cut the baseball with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he was a dirty, rotten, filthy cheater even back then.
Yeah. But then again, they also say that cheating is as old as baseball.
But yeah?
That's pretty dirty, rotten, cheating, cutting the baseball.
Yeah, it is.
I actually met this gentleman at the place where I worked at. He was a foreman there.
Uh-huh.
And I checked his credentials later when I got a computer. He definitely played for the Tigers for three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 60s.
Right. All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Jerry. That's an interesting story. I learned two things tonight. That Bunning pitched a no-hitter in two leagues and... is a cheating son of a bitch. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for checking in. Dominic is in Erie, PA. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
My first time caller, Mike.
Okay, well, welcome in.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I am a Democrat, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah?
And the problem I have with health care is that nobody has filibustered many times as Republicans have.
That's true.
And it's pretty sorry how this country is going with all of them paid off by special interest and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to let you know that, and I wanted to know your comments on what you think.
Well, I pretty much agree with what you're saying. I think the way to handle health insurance or health care or delivery of medical services in this country is to try to behave like other civilized countries. We have share a border with a very civilized country that just kicked our ass in hockey the other night, and that would be Canada. All we have to do is just switch over to single-payer health care. Now, I realize the Canadian system is a little bit different from that, but until we catch up with the rest of the world, until we catch up with France and the Brits and Canada and Germany and the Scandinavian countries and China and Israel. Don't all these places have single payer? I don't know about China. I know the other ones do. Until that time, the country is, we're not going anywhere. Except continuing to go down. But that'll make all these followers of Mr. Glenn Beck just happy as a pig in mud. So imagine this scenario. You and your family are sailing along on one of those giant-ass cruise ships, and the thing starts to sink. A check below decks confirms there are a number of good-sized holes in the hull, and water is rushing in. You run to the bridge to report what you've just seen, only to discover the captain and his officers engaged in furious arguments. I say arguments plural, since it was just that, as raised voices cast blame, while others argued over whether the situation was really as serious, and others said it was, and meanwhile, you knew it was serious. You'd seen it with your own eyes, and all you wanted was for someone in authority to do something about it. This puppy's sinking unless someone does something about it, and fast. Yeah, that would be the ship of state, the U.S. of A. The list of known holes in her hull is long and getting longer. But while the officers in the pilot house do nothing but yell down here in the salon, the music plays on. We're told not to worry that the financial bailout of banks and Wall Street prevented us from sinking. The situation is stabilized, so enjoy your meal, go shopping, it's over, move along, nothing here to see, hogwash. If you believe any of that, I have default swap wrapped in freshly minted derivatives topped with a package of subprime loans to sell you. Let me count the holes in the hull, the ones I can recall off the top of my head. $7 trillion in unfunded obligations. That'd be Social Security, Medicare, retirement funds, etc. A crumbling 1900s infrastructure, crumbling at just the moment other nations are building a 21st century infrastructure. Failing system of public education. A failing, some would say failed, health delivery system. Runaway climate change. Peak oil. Two wars costing us $1 billion a month, which we have to borrow from the Chinese. A financial sector so focused on producing obscenely huge short-term profits by gaming the system, they no longer produce anything real or useful to anyone but themselves. A political system corrupted by campaign funding. An industrial base gutted by outsourcing. Out of control trade deficits. State and local governments in fiscal crisis. And a two-party political system that has outlived its useful life. And that last one brings us back full circle. Back to the pilot house with the captain and the crew engaged in utterly useless debate as the ship sinks with all aboard. Steve. Jeff is in Indianapolis listening on XM. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
Last October, I was in the hospital, and I ended up with about $2,000 of co-pays and deductibles and all kinds of other crap that I don't know what I'm paying.
Right.
And what I do is every month I get those bills, and I make two copies of it, and I send one set of bills to Lamar Alexander, and I said, one set of bills to Bob Corker, and I put a little note on there telling them to go ahead and pay these for me since they took all that money from my insurance company that was my premiums to begin with.
Good for you.
Might as well pay them for me.
Good for you.
And I was thinking when I heard about Jim Bunning today, I was thinking maybe everybody who can't pay their mortgage or their electric bill or buy food should send a little letter to Jim Bunning. Send him a copy of the bill, tell him to pay for it, since you don't know how, since, you know, he's so worried about everybody paying for their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can bury him with about 6 tons of mail.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But keep in mind that Jim Bunning is, he's just a dead man walking. I mean, he's, what is he, 78? He's not going to run for the Senate anymore. He's pissed off at everybody. I think part of his problem, and I mean this, straight up, is senile dementia, at least the beginning of it. I don't know how much of a crank, Jim Bunning was in his 50s and 60s and in early 70s,
yeah.
but he's showing to the untrained, medically untrained mind like mine, he's showing all those initial signs of senile dementia.
Well, I got a cure for that too, Mike. I got a big cure for that.
Okay.
Toyotas, Camrys, and Avalons and all that are built in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Let's put them in front of about 100 of them and watch them sweat, see which one's going to accelerate and run his ass over. You know? He'll be sweating so bad, we'll think he was waterboarded.
All right.
That'd take care of his dementia.
That sure would, Jeff. All right. Jeff, thanks. Yeah, that would take care of his dementia, all right. Sure would. Just a snotty bastard. I swear, Bunning. I mean, giving people the finger who are just trying to do their job and I oh well. Corey in Louisville writes, regarding Charlie Daniels, you were playing him to cleanse us of Glenn Beck, and it's too bad that he's about as right-wing crazy as Glenn Beck. Now, really, check him out. No, I know that, Corey. I know he is. I know Charlie Daniels. I mean, my God. How many times have I met Charlie Daniels? But, what, four or five? Yeah, he used to email me and call me just a liberal son of a bitch. Who is the group that sounded a lot like the Allman Brothers too from South Carolina? Remember those? No, not Leonard Skinner. They were from Jacksonville. But damn, drawing a blank. But no, I used to get emails from Charlie Daniels back in the day. Not that far back in the day. But you know, you're crazy. You're crazy, boy. You're left-wing crazy. It's all right. It's okay. Corey writes, P.S., don't you find it funny that Addison Mitchell McConnell, is that his first name, Addison Mitch McConnell? Ooh! Who also represents the crazies in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, but not the state of Louisville. Don't you find it funny he hasn't said much of anything about crazy senile Jimbo Bunning? Yeah. Yeah, I think so, Corey. Corey is writing from the state of Louisville, which is surrounded by the crazies in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Yeah, I live that way, too. I did for years. I lived in the state of Atlanta, surrounded by the crazies in Georgia, the penal colony, Georgia. But I put on the disguise, and we moved out here into the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains and ride around a pickup truck with a gun rack. Paul is in Gadsden, Alabama. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. I have a big scenario. Unfortunately, happened to a family member of mine, okay?
Yeah.
My father-in-law is from Canada, and he was down on vacation in Orlando with my wife's sister.
Yeah?
3 weeks ago, he collapsed. As of last Thursday, the bill was $251,000.
Oh, my God.
He got released today. It's a little bit, almost $301,000. Now, what happened to him is he had intracranial pressure and it popped a vein. And, I mean, it's the whole thing anyway. Not to get into medical stuff, I just have a question for every Republican out there. I mean Republican, I'm sorry, it slipped. 20%, which is what my copay would be, okay, health insurance I have, it's $60,000.
Right.
And one of them please call me and tell me they have that cash in today's economy?
Well, because yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I don't, Mike, and I'm an owner-operator. I have my own company. My wife is a nurse, and I don't have the money to spare.
Right.
I'm just wondering, where are these people living that make $40,000 a year and think they can afford $60,000 medical bills?
Well, Paul, listen, thanks. You're breaking up pretty bad, but I think the gist of what you were saying got through loud and clear. No, you're right. There's no answer. They would have no answer for you. I don't understand that kind of madness, that kind of crazy. People who would sink beneath the waves with the situation that you're describing, following the exalted Mr. Glenn Beck right into hell where it concerns medical coverage. I don't get it either, Paul. I really don't. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.